Welcome, After Buzzers, to the America's Got Talent After Buzz After Show, Season 13, Episode 7. And this is the final audition round. How about that? So we've got a pretty exciting episode tonight. We're going to talk about our favorites, our least favorites, some golden buzzers, who we think was our golden buzzer. And we're just going to have a fun show for you guys. So I'm your host, Sean Paul Payton, and this is
Joseph Shepard.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and start off with some overall thoughts. There were so many kids, just like always.
There were so many kids and so many singers. And this audition fell flat to the wayside for me. Like this round, I was like, you know, it's the last audition round, your final audition round. And I thought that we were saving some good stuff for the end.
Yeah, yeah.
But where was it?
You know, you said something very funny before the show started. because I was thinking, like, there was so much about hope and dreams and inspiration. Like, I felt like the whole time, one good thing about it was the inspiration element that we have in this show. But
I looked at you and I said, it's like the very first episode that I have of this season of this after show. And I said, it's no longer America's Got Talent. It's America's Got Stories. Yeah. And I still feel that way. it is what it is. But it's a lot about the story, less about the talent, I feel.
Yeah, yeah. And the story really does play a big impact. I know that one of my favorites of the night was definitely because of that. But it was also a pretty interesting performance. And so let's go ahead and go right into our favorites. And I'll just start off with that. Hunter. When I was watching him do his first song, I was okay with it, but just like Simon said, man, he's the master of these songs.
I
did that too. he was right. That first song was not really going anywhere. And I think it's because obviously, it wasn't his song, and he wasn't that into it, but it was something that his mom liked, so he was more performing for somebody else. But then when he switched it up and made it his own song, I was amazed by his songwriting skills. Like, that sounded... Now, I don't listen to country music on the regular, but it sounded like something to me that could be on the radio. And I like that he liked Taylor Swift. I thought that was...
You know, you got really excited about the Taylor Swift thing. You're like, oh my gosh, like I now stand him because he like supports Taylor Swift.
That song with Kendrick Lamar, man. Dude. That music video was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. Pretty cool music video.
But not to get off topic.
I kind of disagree with you there about him. I didn't think that he was that great. I think that he sounded like a country version of Mumford & Sons.
Oh, really?
And like you said, his name was Hunter Price. He was 25, from Georgia. He came on with a guitar, and he ended up singing, was it a Brian McKnight song?
Then
Simon stopped him and then made him sing an original. And Howie was very iffy about him. Like, mm-hmm. Howie was very, very iffy, and I think he said no. So that was... But interesting that you liked him.
Yeah, but one of the interesting points that you made, too, was about the backstory. I'm interested in him, too, because of the fact that he seemed to be holding in so much. Uh-huh. Like, even when you could see in his face he was getting emotional, he was even keeping that inside. So, again, with what Simon was talking about... If he can open up more and pour more of himself into his music and his songs, I think he's going to do pretty well in the industry. I really do.
I think one of my favorites, in a weird way, was I called him a cross between Edward Scissorhands and Fred Flintstone. Oliver Graves, came out, he's 32 years old, and he had very dark black hair, mm-hmm. black rings around his eyes. And he ended up doing some stand-up. And it was very, like, one-liner type jokes. I thought that he was pretty funny. And I thought that some of the things that he was saying was kind of like when you relate to things, you're kind of like, oh, okay, that's funny. But I thought he was good. I think that we are lacking in the comedian department this year.
Yeah.
I feel like there really isn't anybody that is standing out comic-wise.
Right.
So Simon did make a point, and he said that Oliver was the only comic that he thought would stand out, the only one that he would remember. And I think that in all honesty, we only remember him because of his appearance.
Yeah, yeah. So that was actually a good play by him.
It was a good play by him. And you could see that he was very, very emotional. He was not used to getting the raves that he got.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great thing about this show, too, is that it always brings everything kind of like full circle, and you kind of somebody who doesn't believe in themselves can believe in themselves from that stage.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting, too, just the way that humor is, because we... Like, I've noticed that people laugh a lot at other people's suffering, and the fact that he was probably saying stuff that was true about his life was what was making the audience connect with him a little bit. But, you know, they were laughing, but they were connecting, so in the end, it ended up being good for him.
Yeah,
very good.
It did.
I have another one that I really like. Now, see, the science tech guys... I like this one, dude, because we haven't had any auditions that, to my knowledge, I don't recall any of them that just kind of made you think a lot throughout the whole process. And just thinking about how many hours they put into constructing that whole device. And
the hamster wheel, right?
The hamster wheel. Exactly. And I like their little creativity in the end where they put all the four judges up and then they got their own golden buzzer. That just made me laugh. And yeah, they're just regular guys, like a business analyst, I really like that one.
I was iffy about that one, and yeah. I actually put them on my bottom list.
Wow.
Yeah, because I felt that, I mean, it's three guys who came out. One was a professor, and they made like a Rube Goldberg machine, which basically is one of those machines that you start off with one thing, and it knocks over dominoes, or knocks over this and that, and then mm-hmm. it keeps going and going and going. I just get, they spent 300 hours on it, 300 yeah. hours for that. And I'm like, it was cool and it was nice to see, but like I've always said in this, where do you go from now? Like, where's next?
I bet they can make it better and better.
True. But there's only so far you can go. But then part of me also is like, if it were to actually become an act, so like if they were to get dancers or something else involved uh-huh. and movement ends up becoming affected by something else, I think that it could be something. If they were to change it like that as opposed to just one device. Because if you're going to a show in Vegas or if it's a $1 million act, how many devices can they have and how long can this go on? And how yeah. long are you going to be amused? Like if I was sitting in the audience and no music was playing... and no cut-ins and no, like, you know, in and outs and, like, you know, fades and all that stuff, I would have been like, oh.
Huh. Well, maybe they can find a way to speed things up. And I'm just curious to see what happens in the next couple of rounds with them. I want to see their machines get more complex and maybe they'll add some acrobatics. Who knows?
But. Yeah, you never know. Another one of my tops I had was Sergey and Sasha.
Dude, same.
They
were crazy.
They
good.
Were amazing. It was a 52-year-old father with his 15-year-old daughter, uh-huh. and it was acrobatics, like spinning. He put her on his head, and she was spinning around.
My heart was racing. Like, I was getting nervous for them.
It was, and then he ended up holding her head.
Yeah.
Just with the palm of his hand. He was holding his daughter up, upside down, with the palm of his hand on
That's
her head.
That's nuts.
I was so scared. I literally felt like she was going to, like...
Yeah.
Like, it was...
Like, my neck kind of hurt yeah. just watching it.
Then she picked up a baton with her foot, yeah. and then he ended up walking up a ladder uh-huh. with her balanced on his head.
Right.
Like...
That's insanity.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And the amount of hours and the amount of time that goes into that, she said that she was doing it since she was six.
Yeah, so
and
they put in even way
yes.
more time. Years.
I in her story, I did like one part that she said. She said that, you know, like my father's not going to be able to do this with me forever,
right.
so I want to be able to do this with him now mm-hmm. because the older that he gets, the harder it's going to get.
Oh, yeah. And he's already 52.
Yeah. And it was yeah. just good to see that, you know, hey, she's going after her dream and at the same time spending time with her dad. So uh-huh. that's always great when you see some family time.
Would you trust any of your family members to
hold my head? No. No. Would you?
So, YouTubers, if let us know if you would trust any of your family members in a crazy acrobatic act like that.
Speaking of YouTubers and everybody who has been watching and listening, I want to give some shout-outs to a few people who commented. We got quite a few comments last
yeah,
week.
Last week was great.
Yeah.
You guys loved it.
So, shout-out to Michael Steele, Cole W., Rosario P., and Izad Bijal. Thank you guys so much for commenting and watching and listening if you are on the iTunes.
Yeah, and as always, we love it when you like, comment, and subscribe and share, whether you're on YouTube or iTunes. Just keep that thing going, and that's how the show will get bigger and bigger, and you know we can reach more people, and just we love your feedback. We love it.
So getting into this bottoms,
yeah.
getting into, oh, sorry, getting into
yeah,
the least favorite people
you
of
can call
this
them bottoms
week.
I'm going to
call them bottoms, okay.
We had two names for these segments. And
originally it was tops and bottoms, not anymore.
Now it is. We're back to the bottom.
So I have to say, somebody that I was not fond of was Pam and Oscar. Uh-huh. Pam comes out, and she says that her dog can sing. Oscar is her dog.
Yeah.
And this was like, do you remember the movie Air Bud?
Uh-huh.
This was like, Air Bud was about a golden retriever. She has a golden retriever. It's 3 years old. She tells everybody on the judging panel this dog can sing. Then she ends up playing a song, and the dog is just basically like howling, and everybody loved it, and I need to know why.
But wait.
Why?
She was from Ohio, and I'm wearing the red. Ohio. O-H-I-O! Ohio State, man! Let's go!
We can't forgive somebody just because they're from Ohio.
Like, oh, we can't? Are you sure?
Did you like it?
I mean...
Did you like the dog?
Yes, I like dogs.
Did you like that dog? Did you like Oscar?
I thought it was funny. I was hoping it was going to go into a funny direction, to be honest.
Well, I thought that the dog was actually going to say some words or sing. Like, when she said that... it could sing. Like, I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, okay. But that probably was one of my most disappointing. And I was like, well, Air Bud is getting no air right now because I would not. I wouldn't pay to watch that.
Shout out to Ohioans. That's all I got to say.
Who did you have in your least favorite?
The Clean Comic. You know, I feel like there was a time when I would have laughed at his jokes, but I've seen so much South Park these days that I just can't be amused anymore.
You don't like clean comedy.
It's I like what he's trying to do because that would be good for society for us to just kind of, I don't know, no. I tried to defend it, but it's just not working for me this time.
I can't agree with you there. Another one that I was not fond of was the dancers that were named the Pancakes.
Oh, yeah. Wait, oh, those...
It was a bunch of girls who came out. Yeah, they were the kids.
You don't like the Pancakes.
I love Dance Moms. Uh-huh. I was a big fan of Dance Moms. Yeah. And I love seeing children dance and show off talent and emotion. But sometimes when you have over three dancers, it becomes much harder to get in sync.
True.
And I think when you are on a platform like America's Got Talent, you can dance and you can dance well, but... like it's always said, like, is it a million-dollar act? And what can you do? And they weren't fully in sync the whole time. So in my head, it's like,
that is
push
true.
The limits. And also, we have all these shows, like you've said before. We have World of Dance. We have So You Think You Can Dance. You know,
they would have had trouble.
They would have had trouble. Yeah. So it's like, what can you do with your dance that is going to take it to the next level?
Right.
And so is that, you know, different color costumes? Is that neon lights? Is that X, Y, and Z? Like, what can you do to make... everybody go, whoa. And I didn't get a whoa factor.
Now, here's something that I want to mention to everybody watching and listening. We noticed that there are a couple of acts that it didn't feel like the original music was playing. So
correct.
It would be interesting to see how it compares with the actual music that they had for the audition.
I do agree with you there, and I think that is a really good point, because when you watch these dancers, and you're like, oh, you're not on the beat, or no, you're on the rhythm.
Yeah, then you start to realize.
Did the song just not get cleared? Was the song too expensive to clear? And that becomes a really good point.
Right.
So it will be telling, and you will be able to actually see these acts do that once they get into the finals.
Mm-hmm.
Because they, you know, once they get into the finals, then everything can be clear, and they can do that, and you can see what they are for their potential.
Right. We can see more of a full performance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Who else did you end up having in your lower three?
Well, the butt face, or butt the faces.
They were butt faces. The box of clowns. The box of clowns.
See, that's all I wish they would have showed a little bit more, because that's all I can remember.
It literally was faces on butts. It was three people who came out, two women, one man, and they had faces on their butt.
So I guess they're our least favorite.
It was kind of funny to me, like in a weird way of like, I don't want to watch this again, but like it's something keeping me entertained.
Oh, man. I think it's about time for our Sure Jan segment. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Let's hear Sure Jan.
Sure Jan.
Yeah.
There we go.
we had to make sure. Just a moment. So this is the segment, our special segment of the day. And this is where the judges have made a decision.
Yeah.
And we feel like Sure, Jan. That was not the right decision that you should have made.
Right.
I'm going to start this off saying I did not agree with the judge's decision on Patches Maddock Johnson. This was a child who came out. He was a nice child, had a great personality. He's 13
don't,
years old. He's
don't
in
you
the
go
seventh
hating
grade.
On the kids. Don't
oh,
you go hating.
Oh, I'm being as nice as I can. All he right. came out, and he said that he was going to perform. He had a lot of energy. It was really he honestly has a lot of energy.
Yeah.
He came out, and I thought he was going to sing, and he ended up rapping. And it
don't
was
you
his
diss
own,
my boy Patches,
it was
bro.
It was his
don't
own original rap. Dog. And I thought that he was off the beat. I thought that he was breathy. I wrote down, nope.
Oh, no.
But this is where I want to bring this full circle. Because yeah. I think that a lot of times we can say no to people, but I want to compare them to somebody. Oh. The first episode, the second episode, was with Flage. And she's 14.
Right.
She's 14. He's 13. Yeah. They're around the exact same age.
Yeah.
And she had
she was very, very
she
good.
Had the beat. She had the rhythm. She wrote her own stuff. And that is something I could see on the radio.
Yeah.
This kid, no.
If they were to rap, oh,
if there was a
rap battle, oh,
we could
God.
Really see it.
I want to see that. They need to make that like a special segment on America's
yes.
Got Talent.
Yes, I agree. I agree with that. But I do have to say that all the judges put Patches through, and I didn't agree with it. I think that he has a long way to go. I think that he did have talent in his writing, mm-hmm. but I think in order to be a Flage. Yeah. I think you need to be able to step up your game a little bit. So maybe in a few years, but yeah. I didn't think it was deserving of a yes. So that's my sure Jan.
Oh, well, let's see. For my sure Jan, man, I hate to be a hater, but listen. Look, I love dancing. I've said it many times. Blue Tokyo, they had some skill. But the thing that got me on this group was that as soon as they did a backflip, the whole crowd was like, whoa! Like, we'd never seen a backflip before. But we have. And that alone is not gonna, that's not gonna cut it for me because, like, the originality factor just, it didn't hit me as original because I've seen so many acts with backflips and it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. And I'm kind of curious to see how they would do if that one dancer hadn't hurt himself.
Correct.
So I'd actually like to see them. I'm going to make an assumption here that they're not going to make it all the way through. And I would like to see them come back next year after that other dancer has healed to see what is missing. Because it did feel like something was missing to me.
As opposed to pancakes, I did feel like they were very in sync with their movements. Watching that, I felt like they were more in sync than the other dancers I've seen currently.
Mm-hmm.
I do agree to your point that a backflip's a backflip.
Yeah.
And, you know, what are you bringing? But you're the dance expert. You like the dance. So if you said it was not that great, then I guess I'll agree with you.
I mean, I did like their little backflip trick that they did towards the end where the dude backflipped and then they grabbed his hands and kind of rotated him around the other mm-hmm. way to keep backflipping. That was actually pretty cool. But I think the fact that it was just kind of overhyped in the beginning, I just felt like, nah, it's not that exciting. Like, it's cool, but it's not, because I've seen so many backflips and it's not an automatic pass for me. So
got you, feel you on that.
Now we have a very interesting news segment.
We do.
And the last news segment that we had was about Mel B, and this one is too.
We're right back with Mel B.
Yeah. And this is some foul play here. Like, I don't know when people are just when are these guys going to learn that you don't do this inappropriate stuff? But go ahead and give the full report here.
Yeah, so basically, this has been going on Twitter. I've seen it the past few days. It's been circling Twitter, and it's really weird to me because this actually happened 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But Twitter, for some reason, is just eating it up right now.
Right.
It is a clip of Mel B. She was a judge on the UK's version of The X Factor mm-hmm. about 2 years ago with Simon Cowell as well, and yeah. also Cheryl Cole and Louis Walsh. And during a press interview, Cheryl is sitting next to Louis, and, or not, sorry, Cheryl, Melby is sitting next to Louie, and she starts feeling a hand on her butt.
Yeah.
And you can clearly tell that she's uncomfortable with this.
Right.
And she ends up pushing herself away and kind of like calling him out on TV.
Yeah, it's not cool.
Not cool at all. And so that's been really, really making the rounds. And like, you know, when is this stuff going to stop? And it kind of came into, you know, the whole Me Too movement and going from there. So that is where it came from. And that's where we kind of see that. But I just thought it was very interesting that this happened 2 years ago and it's getting called out now.
That is kind of bizarre, too. The fact that it happened 2 years ago. Like honestly, when I heard about this, I thought it had just happened, like, you know, yesterday or a month ago or something. But what's up with the time delay is what I'm kind of wondering.
I think that probably somebody saw it on the internet, you know, because it did come out 2 years ago and was like, wow, that is not okay. And that never got press. And we need to make it known that this is not okay. And it's not. It's not okay at all. And I think that, you know, our society is just going to have to learn that there are some things that are okay and things that are not okay. And you have to, like, you know, no means no, man.
Yeah.
You don't need to be taking anything in advantage. Doesn't matter how high up you are. Doesn't matter how low up you are. You can't just touch people.
Right.
Don't touch me.
No.
I don't want to be touched.
No. You got to learn. Guys, no hands on the merchandise. Look, man. Can't touch this. You better get up. So, that about wraps that up. So, who do you think, Josh or Joseph?
Ooh, oh, I just called Josh. Oh, my name is Josh today. All right.
We're having some technical difficulties here tonight.
So who do you think that... repeat your question. Go ahead.
Who do you think is going to win the season?
Who do I think is going to win the season? I think before I get into that, I do want to cover this golden buzzer tonight.
Mm-hmm.
The golden buzzer tonight it was Heidi's golden buzzer, and it was for Michaela Phillips, who sang a Demi Lovato song. She was 15 years old. I thought her voice was beautiful. It started off a little rough for me, but then it really sounded pretty good. Like, I didn't get goosebumps. I will say that. I didn't get goosebumps. I didn't think it was the most amazing thing that I've seen this season.
Right.
But I did love it. And I did think that for a girl her age and for the audience, people who love Ariana Grande, people who love Demi Lovato, this young, you know, teeny boppers, she's going to fit right in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, who knows? Maybe she'll get her own Nickelodeon show and, you know, end up with, a Disney singing career or something. But I thought that she was great. I think she was deserving of that golden buzzer.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to, like you said, who do I think is going to win the season?
Yeah.
It's a very, very tough call. A lot of people who commented on the video last week, you guys all over who are commenting, were all about Glennis Grace.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that that just tells numbers. I mean, every single person, Glennis Grace, Glennis Grace, Glennis Grace. So,
who out of this episode do you think would win?
Out of this episode, I believe that probably Michaela would win.
Michaela?
I think so.
Oh, man. She was so... That would be an interesting finale. Michaela and Glennis Grace.
Oh, that would be pretty interesting.
And I bet that there's a chance that could happen.
There is a chance that could happen. Who do you think from this episode would end up winning?
I mean, it's definitely... Yeah, hands down. I can't see anybody else that really did that well.
Yeah.
And... I mean, out of my favorites, I don't see how. Yeah, I don't think the science tech guys can beat her. I think if the audience had to choose, they're not going with science and technology.
But it's going to be very, very awesome because next week we get into the judges' cuts.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to see the judges end up narrowing these people down.
Right.
We are going to get into the nitty gritty. We're going to see if some of these acts that we thought didn't have the potential can do something totally different and wow us. And I think that that is what I like looking forward to the most. Like, seeing can these acts sustain? And then, of course, you're going to have your tragic moments where probably a dancer falls down or something ends up happening. And then maybe an ambulance is called or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys, that's pretty much it for tonight. We do just want to remind you that you can find us on Instagram and Twitter. My Instagram is at Sean Paul Payton.
And I'm Joseph Shepherd. You can find me at Joseph A. Shepherd on all things social media.
All right, guys. Well, we've had fun tonight, and you guys take care.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.